35. And in doing so, I would recognise the traditional owners, the Kariyarra people, their leaders past, present and future, on whose land we meet today, and acknowledge their contribution for the town of Port Hedland. I would also recognise that today we have two new committee members in the form of Mr Jason Green and Mr Brad Paulenko. I welcome you to the Airport Committee and I'm looking forward to your contribution. I believe your expertise in the fields will be of great value and assistance to the committee moving forward, so welcome. All right, item three, recording of attendance, as listed, showing there, and with the exceptions of apologies, we will make councillor Hunt as an acknowledged apology, since she did give us approved leave of absence. Okay, item four, responses to questions, 4.1. Questions from public at Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 1st October 2014, there was nil. 4.2, questions from committee members at Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 1st of October, there was only one from Mayor Howlett regarding some Christmas decorations at the airport. Brett, would you like to give us an update on that?
Yes, it's as per the detail provided in the response. We set up a competition for we've purchased some pull-up banners for Christmas decorations on them. We pulled up in the terminal building itself and we've established a competition for terminal tenants, with the prizes being a series of Christmas hampers that can be shared with staff for, I guess we're looking at three sort of prizes that we'll award to terminal tenants for the quality of their Christmas decorations. So that process has commenced and, yeah, the competition has started, so to speak.
Cool. I'll have more questions around that, but we'll move on to item five, public time. Just an important notice that this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meetings unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Right, 5.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 12:40. Are there any public questions? There being nil, I will close it at the same time and move on to 5.2, public statement time. Are there any public statements? I will declare that open at 12:41 and close it at the same time. Okay, move on to item six, questions from members without notice. Councillor Gillingham.
Oh, yes, thank you. Look, I go out to the airport a couple of times a week for School of the Air, and I've just come back from having a tyre repaired from a rather big roof because I had a slow puncture. And, you know, it's $30 a pop to get these done, and I've just spoken to the company I went to, and they said they get at least five or six taxis going to them each week in Wedgefield for the same reason, only when they're at the airport. Now, obviously, it's workmen or something like that. So what I want to know is, do we get a sweeper go out regularly to the airport, road sweeper, so that maybe we can alleviate this problem?
Sure. I'll refer that to the director of, one of the directors, the directors here.
I guess we can take that on notice and talk to the airport Brett Curran and see if there's any possibilities to review it. If we do it or not.
So maybe we make that an action to follow up.
Yep.
That officers report back, or report the problem first, and then report back to the committee what action will be forthcoming.
I've only just learned this about 45 minutes ago, having time fixed up on here.
I'm sure we can have the sweepers go out there and do so, because that is true. That's good observation.
If they're saying that to the tire people. So if that's just one tire company, it could be others. So,
Fantastic. Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, the other one was that, through the chair, I actually was the presiding member of the last meeting as yourself and Mayor Howlett.
Wonderful
and,
job you did
you
too.
Threw it away. I actually took your position here. Thank you. Now, I had a bit of clarification regarding the voting of that particular item regarding a community member. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations to our community member. It's great to have you on board. And so I don't have any discrepancies with that. But I did mention to them that there was no vote recorded on the initial, item, and that then it went to a clarification and eventually Mayor Howlett actually moved a motion to move to the next meeting. Now, Welga has said to me, I do have that in writing, I'm sorry I didn't bring it today, that there should have been a vote recorded, and if there was a discrepancy with the voting at the time, that I should have been directed at the chair to say that, for example, there's a discrepancy in the voting, but we need to please vote again. I wasn't directed from our CEO at the time to do that. I did ask for help and guidance, and that is, that was recorded. So Welga is saying that we should not have moved on without having a vote recorded. The vote actually went 2-2, and that I, at the time I should have either done a casting vote, or that I should have said we will now revote. We will now do another vote. So I just would like that to be noted and minuted, please, because I just think that obviously there's a process there that may not have been followed correctly, and I think we need to do the correct processes.
Totally understand. Thank you for your question there. We might take that on notice.
Yes, please.
We might bring back.
And it was Mr. James McGovern from Welga that actually gave me that, and he is, the head of governance for West Australian Local Government.
Thank you. Jan, what am I ask you to do is forward that email to governance as well as to the committee. And what we can do is take that one on notice, have a look, review the minutes and how they were appropriately recorded, and bring a report back at the next committee meeting for appropriate action to be taken with regards to that.
I believe the minutes, I don't have them in front of me, but I believe the minutes said that there was no vote recorded.
Yeah.
And they said that under guidelines that should not happen. There must be a vote recorded.
Sure.
Okay.
So we'll make that an action for governance to bring back to the committee, and then we can move forward on that item to revisit appropriate action that needs to be taken. Yeah. Got that, Grace?
Yes. And that's it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Councillor Butson?
No, thank you.
Nothing from you? Jason?
Nothing at this stage.
Brad? Flow.
No.
Okay, I do have a couple of questions just relating to number one, I guess the Christmas decorations in at the airport, the pull-up banners. Can somebody advise us when they would arrive, given that it's the first week of December, and they're not there as of yesterday afternoon when I flew in?
Through the chair, I mean, my understanding is that all Christmas decorations were due to be put up in the first week of December. So if they haven't been done at the airport, we can certainly follow that up.
Yeah, through the chair, I can also confirm that certainly a purchase order was completed for the Christmas decorations for the terminal, and an order was placed. So I'm at a bit of a loss as to why they're not there at the moment.
So may I defer the question to the staff sitting over there, looking very...
My understanding is that they will be delivered this week, but we can certainly chase that up on delivery time frame.
Just I'm conscious that we live in the regions, and a week's delay means a week's delay and might end up going up in New Year's. So we'll take that on notice to come back. Okay, and the other thing that I've got is over here. I'm wondering if we can have a report request. I'm happy for the officers to come back with a report just to bring back to the committee a strategy for the stage design of the new terminal, including public competition or engagement of architects or anything that's going to achieve new design of the airport terminal. So just following on from Councillor Gillingham's question earlier, I'd be pretty keen for the new year for us to have a strategy on how that's going to be handled. So whether that's going out to a public competition for architects to design something innovative or whether we're going to actually put that through. So I think for February meeting, if we could have something that brings back a report on that.
Yeah, through the Chair, happy to defer that one to the Program Director.
Yep, through the Chair, that's fine. Yeah, that's I'll bring something back to
her. Okay, cool. No worries.
Just by point of clarification, we're talking about the new terminal?
The new terminal.
Yes, yep.
Thank you. All right then. Okay, let's move on to item 7, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting today. May I have a show of hands? So I record 6-0. Item 8, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. 8.1, confirmation of the minutes of the airport meeting held on Wednesday, 1st October 2014, with a simple majority vote required to accept these minutes. May I have a mover?
Thank you. I would just like to, before clarification.
Point of clarification? Mm-hmm.
For it to be moved and seconded with the point that regarding the voting, which I just mentioned, Madam Chair.
Sure. So with that clarification on the review of the item around the voting in of the committee member, I'm sorry, I don't have the item number, but you would be able to do that. You're happy to move that?
Yeah,
that they be accepted?
Just put in a clarification note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So when you bring back the report, mm-hmm. if we're going to put in a clarification note now, we're going to have to word it so that's in the recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you want the clarification?
It was just because I received clarification from Western Local Government, from Mr. James McGovern, that there should have been a vote recorded. It shouldn't have just been no vote, so I'm not sure how you'd like to do that.
Right, so can I suggest that we say that with the point of clarification around whatever item it was, regarding the vote,
not recorded.
Yeah, the procedure for the voting of that. Review of that voting. All right.
You, if you'd like, if you request a report back to the next airport committee on what happened in the voting, you can put off actually confirming the minutes until you receive that.
So well, can we say with regard to that report?
Because once the minutes have been confirmed, you can't amend them.
Okay.
So if the report has anything further, then you won't be able to amend the minutes if they've already been
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to report back on the item, then that report can also have that you confirm these minutes, and if there's any changes or clarification that's put in, we can do it as part of that item for the next meeting.
Mm. Are you satisfied with that, Jan?
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't print off at the time through the chair from my home computer because I wasn't able to get onto council emails on my computer, but since only last week, Michael Tenby is able to sort that problem out for me.
Okay, so point of just another question around that is, will that report have any influence on what's recorded as the meeting minutes? Because we're not disputing that the minutes are inaccurate. We're disputing whether the item's got there's an issue with the way the item was reviewed or actioned on the day. So I'm suggesting that the minutes won't change, but there might be action forthcoming from that item to say that it needs to be revisited because it wasn't dealt with appropriately. Would that be a fair
thing? It was just the correct procedure and it was just...
Yeah, so it's more of your question relates to the procedural matter around that item, not actually the minutes. So the minutes can be accepted as true and correct because they still do reflect that a vote wasn't taken.
Right.
But you're questioning the procedure. So maybe that doesn't affect accepting the minutes, if that Does that make sense? Is the committee, with your indulgence, if that's fine, if you're happy with that, maybe we can accept the minutes and not delay them for another.
Okay.
Yeah, is that right?
Yes.
So may I have a mover and somebody to second that? So moved Councillor Gillingham, seconded Councillor Butson. Any against? 6-0. Thank you, ladies. Okay. Item 9, announcements by presiding members without discussion. I'm not going to have too much other than to say that it's really wonderful that we've been able to fill the vacancies on the committee. I look forward to next year acting, sort of carrying out a real strategic view of how this committee will address things all relating to the business of airport next year. So I didn't go to the airport meeting, the conference this year, but Brett did, so we'll be having a report on his activities a bit later on. Okay, item 10, petitions, deputations, submissions. 10.1, our program director of airport development, Brett Rees, will be doing a presentation, so all yours, Brett.
Thank you, Chairman. Okay, so what I want to do today is run through the redevelopment strategy program, just by way of an update, the airline development initiatives that are going on at the moment, the infrastructure development, airport interim approval program, and just an update on other projects that don't fit into those key headings. So, in terms of the redevelopment strategy and program, the redevelopment strategy has been completed. That document, which you've now got in your packs, that document essentially covers the interim improvements program. It covers the actual redevelopments around the freight logistics, the terminal redevelopment, ground transport redevelopment, airside operation redevelopment. It also covers the place plan, place making for the airport, which is all about a sense of place, a sense of order, a sense of whatever in the airport, and it covers the governance review. So it's an overarching strategy that covers a range of matters, as well as the redevelopment of the airport. It covers services as well, in terms of sewer, water, electrical ring main upgrades and the like. Having now completed that strategy, is a live document. It's subject to constant review. So that document is now a publicly available document. The next step for me is once we've finalised some of the planning around the interim improvements program, is to do an IATA service of level review. Now the IATA service of level review, that's International Aviation Transport Association, that review will look at the programs and schedules, airline schedules going forward, and the expected growth of the airline schedules, and then it will look at peak hour passenger demand within the terminal. So how many passengers do we have in the terminal at any one time, and what's that going to look like in the future? What that will do is that will tell us the trigger point for the new terminal program with a great deal of science, if you like, around that. So that body of work is the next step in this process, and I will be kicking that off early next year. Is there any questions around that one? Okay. In terms of the terminal design, I am in the process of getting a quote from Steer. Now, Steer are the architects that are currently doing the Karratha Terminal project, and I've got a great deal of experience in regional airports and the like. And I've had several meetings with their principal to start looking at the process and how we're going to develop the terminal going forward. And it will be the subject of the strategy that I'll bring back next year in terms of that redevelopment of the new terminal. So it's going to look at things like what are the natural staging, are we going to go to schematics, working drawings, program management and the like. So what we're going to do is develop a brief that will then go out looking for requests for tenders for the design side of that terminal project. So that will happen early next year as well. In terms of the solar farm, that is a late item, as Eber mentioned earlier on, coming to hopefully settling in December council meeting. The limited partnership that was going to be entered in with Bosol is no longer part of this arrangement. The town will be the investor in the solar farm project with ARENA funding of around 50 to 51%, I can't remember now, Edward, something like that. And there will, and the sole off-taker at this point in time will be the airport. The airport is looking to generate over 60% of its power to be generated through this solar farm. That was a 20-hectare solar farm. It was a much more substantial project at one point in time, but through the process of getting the funding and working through the program, the only guaranteed offtake ended up being the airport. And so it's been scaled back at this stage, but it's completely scalable. So we can go back up to that 20 hectares as and when required, basically. So that will come to council.
So the original presentation that we had from Perth has now changed in the partnership?
Yeah, the partnership is no longer proposed. So it's now the town investing, together with ARENA, in the solar farm proposal, with the guaranteed income stream coming from the airport, in essence. So the town would be effectively charging the airport for the use of the power, the net benefit being that the airport has cheaper power than it would otherwise have if it was connected to the Horizon network. So, I don't add much more to that. Does that answer your question? Mm-hmm. All right, in terms of the logistics subdivision, we've got a design review meeting this week. That will complete that design review. That design review will then go through its final approvals and procurement processes early next year. So the documentation is essentially now completed in terms of what that subdivision looks like. Then it will go out for construction commencement in and around March, with a view to having it finished by mid next year. So this is a 13 to 14 lot subdivision, which will include air freight zones and service centre sites for the rental car companies. Once this is established, then we start moving the rental car companies out of Precinct 1, and we can start to free up that space to start looking at an ultimate ground transport plan in that zone through there. Okay, is there any questions on that one? Okay. The governance review. Obviously, with the quite a challenging program we've got in front of us today, we're also looking at a legal structure, an appropriate legal structure for the airport going forward. And from the workshops we had and the different models we reviewed, the only one that ticked all of the council's objectives and critical success factors that were established at the workshops was the long-term lease option. So we have been out to tender for a transaction advisor for phase one and for phase one of the scoping study and phase two, which is the actual transaction. That paper will be coming to council on the 17th of December, and that paper also notes that there's a natural stop point. So once the scoping study is completed, it comes back to council at phase two with a recommendation around what the findings are from that study as to whether we then go forward and lease the airport, which could potentially be to super funds, infrastructure funds, or indeed another network of airports, which is quite common as well.
How much is the scoping study costing us?
The scoping study is costing us $110,000, and we have RADS funding for $50,000, so it's effectively costing us $60,000. That's a four-month program. The point to note about that is that for transaction advisors, the scoping study is simply that. It's a scoping study. That's not really how they earn their living, so to speak. It's actually the transaction itself. So the way we've gone out to tender is we're looking for the one transaction advisor to manage the whole process, and hence that's why it's coming to council, because the second stage is the bigger project, and there are success fees in and around that. So if we sell the airport, if we lease the airport for a suitable period that generates an income return to the council, that could be 100 million plus, whatever that eventual figure would be, then there is a success fee that the transaction advisor gets for successfully getting us through that process.
Okay, so how much does that second phase cost?
About 1.5 to 2%. Of whatever the eventual transaction would be. That's all detailed in the paper that will come to council on the 17th of December.
Okay, so in terms of the timeframes up there, the scoping study tender closed on the 22nd of October, assessment panel. Now, the assessment panel consisted of internal officers and external advisors. We asked Walga to participate, but they didn't have the time to actually participate. So we had the Director of Aviation from the Department of Transport as an assessor, and we had Ray Davey, who's a local government consultancy expert, also sit on that panel. And then we had Janella, myself, Mal and Claire on the panel. And so we've now got a recommendation that'll come to council on that. So that'll be the 7th of December. A consultancy engagement agreement will follow shortly thereafter. It's essentially completed. So that will follow shortly thereafter, pending the council's decision. And then the steering committee has been established and a working group has been established to chart this process through to at least the completion of the scoping study.
So the consultancy engagement, 19th of December, after the 17th of December, if it comes to council,
yes.
What will the cost of that consultancy engagement be?
The 110.
That's the 110, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And it's payable in four equal instalments over the 4 months of the expected scoping study, as I said, with RADS funding 50%, or up to $50,000.
So we have spent a lot of money on consultancies, though, haven't we, over the last few years at the airport?
Depends. If you're talking about the governance stuff, no, not really. But if you're talking, because the workshops in the last 12 months' worth of work, we've probably spent around $15,000 in total on costs.
All the different plans that we've had in the last
Talking about plans and master plan reviews, strategic reviews, it was $45,000 for the freight logistics, the operations, the terminal design, the ground transport design.
Mm-hmm.
That was that process. I'm not aware of the costs in terms of the previous reviews, but what we did was we pulled together all of the past reports and we reviewed all of the past reports in terms of establishing the ultimate strategy, and they are all incorporated in the ultimate strategy. So yes, there are bodies of work that have been done over the years and they've all been included, updated, refreshed as part of that process. Okay, airline developments. We spoke about this earlier, but the route development strategy, a steering... We're now going to review this strategy as part of the steering committee to possibly include this in the scoping study. The original intention was to have a regional-wide route development strategy established for airlines so that we could all participate in a wider catchment area type approach to airlines to develop new routes and increase demand into the region. So we will be reviewing that, as I said, because the funding that we were looking for at the time wasn't forthcoming on that particular body of work. That body of work wasn't cheap, and so we were actually looking for the Pilbara Development Commission to fund that, but unfortunately at the time the funding wasn't forthcoming for that project. The airline engagement, we've established a group now that has ongoing airline engagement. We meet quarterly with the airlines. We've got a Qantas meeting early next week, and as part of that engagement, we've been in discussions with the airlines around corporate packages for the town. We've had a response from Qantas, and we've had a response from Virgin. The Virgin response looks very good, and the Qantas response not quite as good, I would say, best way to put it. And there are some ongoing discussions and dialogues around that, but there's substantial discounts that we can tap into. As a town, so that's been quite positive.
So the 8th of December meeting with Qantas and that whereabouts, is that in Headland?
No, that's via teleconference.
Okay.
Yeah. So various members from the airport and from offices will be attending via teleconference. They'll be attending from Sydney. That's where the head office is.
So Brett, the steering committee. Could you refresh my memory? Who's on the steering committee
for the governance review?
Yeah. Well, the steering committee, which was November. They were put together in November, weren't they? Is that right? November. I can't remember who was on it. Established on the 28th of November.
Yes, yeah, so that was established on the 28th of November. That has Mal Osborne, myself, Gloria Jacob, Peter, until we have a permanent director of corporate services, and it has Anna Duffy by invitation.
So
that's everyone.
So no councillors, other councillors
Gloria's on there, yeah. So the intention of the steering committee is to look at the various bodies of work that need to be undertaken and give direction on the various bodies of work that need to be undertaken, and then that report all comes back to council.
I'm sorry, I can't remember if we have called for nominations for the steering committee.
No, the steering committee is an internal committee that's been set up as part of the government's review. There was no call for nominations or anything like that. It was just we have established a working committee to meet fortnightly to look at all the various reports and things like that.
So it's just a working committee?
Yeah, well, we're calling it a steering committee, obviously, because it's directing the scope of study. And there is a working group, which will be meeting weekly. So those are the two groups to be formed, because there's a large body of work to be undertaken. There's asset valuations, there's asset conditions report, there are environmental reports. We need to look at the airport lease and determine what's actually going to be leased, what's not going to be leased, what's going to be included, what's not going to be included. Are we including the solar farm? Are we including the TWAs? So there's a whole range of matters that need to be considered. So it's a pretty intense piece of work that we're going to do over the next 4 months.
Thank you.
That's right. And the Virgin International Services, and I'll take you through those as well, but just to recap on that matter, Virgin approached us about mid this year, advising that they had an issue with their Denpasar service in so much that their slot availability was doubtful beyond the northern summer schedule, which takes place from the end of March. When they originally approached us, they wanted to move from an F100 to a 737-800 service. That's taking us from 100 passengers to 176 passengers for international service. So a great opportunity and a bit of a problem, obviously, because our terminal is not designed and built around the way they propose to do the service. So currently the service leaves with passengers. 14 hours later, it arrives back with passengers, which allows us to use the one bit of space for both arriving and departing passengers. Now the service will arrive with 176 passengers and turn around in an hour and 45 minutes and leave. Now, in order for us to facilitate that, we've had to come up with two approaches. One is the staged approach and one is the medium-term approach. So those approaches allow us to separate our floor areas so that we can accommodate that operation. The risk to us being, if we don't accommodate the operation, the F100 disappears at the end of March. And the 737-800 is available, and Virgin have committed to that service, provided we can facilitate it. So that's just the background.
I have a question with regards to just airline development, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
I notice Air North is not on there. What are we doing with Air North?
We're meeting with Air North. They're actually coming to the committee meeting in February.
February?
And then we will have our meeting with them then. We have really tried hard to have a route development / corporate package type conversation, but just a general relationship meeting with them.
Yep.
And every time there have been reasons why they can't make themselves available. But they have committed to coming to the committee meeting and doing a bit of a presentation on Air North. And obviously we're following that up to make sure that happens, and we'll have that meeting here in Port Hedland.
Good. Thank you.
So this schematic is a bit of an overview of all of the works, and then I'll take you through the various stages of operation. So this is the staged operation. So this is the one we're madly trying to do as quickly as possible to facilitate the change in service. So it involves, or right across the front, pushing the terminal out to just under the eaves. For two reasons. One is it minimises costs, and the other reason is for wingtip clearance, we can't go too much further. We do have some light poles out here, so we could go a little bit further, but we want to make sure that there is enough room for people for traffic. Okay, so that's being pushed there. We're establishing an interview room in here. We're putting in two primary line modules, so these are the immigration modules that will do outwards and inwards immigration, and I'll show you how that works in a second. We're establishing a passenger racer here to the arrivals area. This is one of our natural choke points at the moment, and so we've developed this race to present passengers in an orderly fashion. Currently they just all rush to it and it's a bit of a choke point. And then we can in an orderly fashion bring them through here. We're putting in all of these internal walls, and they look quite complicated, but as I work through the process you'll see how it all works. But there are a number of walls that need to be put in place to establish appropriate flexibility so that we can operate both domestically and internationally. And that's really the sum total of the works that are going to be undertaken in there, apart from a little bit of a refresh of the office area and establishing a washdown facility within the health room for the quarantine service. Okay, so if we're looking at an international arrivals, we have an opera wall that closes here. We actually close off this lounge here so that we can quarantine it for international departures when we come to that. And so passengers will arrive off the aircraft into this area in here. They've got toilet facilities on arrival, and they will come through a QE race through into here and present at the inwards immigration modules. They will come through immigration. There's an interview room here if anyone needs to be interviewed at that point in the process. And they will come through the race here, collect their bag, and then come through secondary processing here. So that's your usual customs and quarantine inspection benches, x-rays and the like. Once they've completed that, they come out here, and they exit out here, and they walk around the front of the terminal. So those are the only operable walls that will be in place at this part of the operation. At this part of the operation, this is the departures function. We've now opened this area up across here, and we've just closed these walls across here. So we now have this area of the terminal, which is quite sizable, available for the effort, for the 176 potential passengers that would be in that zone through there. So they've checked in here. Check-in opens 2 hours before departure. The aircraft arrives an hour and 45 minutes before departure, but that check-in's already opened. And if I just go back one, while this is happening here, passengers will be checking in. So they will be moving into and sitting in the cafe during that period. So this area will be in operation for 30 to 40 minutes. It takes 30 minutes to process with four lanes, one, two, three, four lanes. It takes 30 minutes to process all the passengers in, all things being equal. And then you've got a little bit of a process you need to go through to sweep the area because it's deemed to be unsecured for international arrivals, just to make sure that there's no sharps and things like that in there. So once you've done that, you then flip over the operation. So we've allowed 45 minutes to actually complete that process.
So, excuse me, Brett, are those toilets in already?
These ones?
Yeah.
No.
So that's new. This is something that's now being added to another plan again.
This wasn't
on the last plan.
This was on the ones that went to council last week.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Okay.
This was, yeah. So this hasn't changed from last week's paper.
I don't remember that, though, in the last airport meeting, that's all.
It wasn't the last airport meeting?
No, so it's something new, and it's not been okay with the airport meeting, then, is it? That's in between the meeting and now. So that's what I'm just questioning, that's all.
Sure. Look, I can completely understand the confusion here. I can answer that question. The last airport meeting, we were moving towards a concept that was going to be delivered in October 2015. Yeah. When we met with the airlines and presented our program, they said, that's fantastic, but you won't have a service. You won't have a service because you need to deliver it by the end of March. So this program is a staged program which came to council last week because we now need to accommodate the service to retain the service. So this is a step in the process. Nothing's changed from the plans we showed you last time, except that this is now a step in the process that we have to do so we don't lose the service. Now, as part of our meetings with the airlines, they have given us a commitment that they will write to us to commit to this service before we kick off these works. So yes, they do look different.
Okay, so I don't remember that being discussed at the last. I was here,
no,
and that was all.
No.
These came direct to council because it couldn't.
Yes, I know, but I don't remember us discussing it at council. I've obviously missed something.
No. At that point in time, there was no issue. It was only when we presented the program.
No problem. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I'm on the same page. That's all.
Yeah.
But I'm understood that the service wouldn't kick in until about September next year, anyway.
No, it's starting from the end of March. That was new news to us, and that happened after the last airport committee, which meant we had to come up with a staged approach. And because of the urgency, it couldn't wait to come to the committee.
Okay.
We have to deliver a program in.
So
I've
spoken to Janella before, and that had not come up, so I was a bit confused. It doesn't matter. Please carry on. Just need to be on the same page.
No, look, perfectly understand what I said. Because of the urgency, this had to go to council last week. It just couldn't wait. So that's 45 minutes, I think I said, and then we move over to this operations. Once we move to this operations, we can immediately start the outwards immigration process, and we can start bringing passengers in through here, into the departure, international departures lounge. Now, this should look reasonably familiar because it is part of a smaller version of a longer-term solution. So what we've done is scale it down and kept it inside the terminal so that we can do it in the time frames that we have available to us. The bigger plan takes a lot more time because we're knocking down a building, we're relocating operations, and we're building a new path to the terminal. So that takes time. But essentially, this is just a small version of what the original plan was. So, and it works quite effectively. So once they're in here, that they can then depart and board the aircraft. Now, we've worked out, looking at the timings, if everything goes according to plan, and there are no disruptions with passengers or anything like that, we can actually turn the aircraft around at an hour and 10 minutes in this scenario. Now, that's unrealistic, because not everything's going to go according to plan, but we are in conversations with the border agencies around what should be the appropriate time frame, because Virgin wanted that 1 hour, 45 minute time frame at this point in time. So that's what we're working towards. So there is some leeway, we can actually achieve that, and we've got to work with all parties to agree that ultimate time frame. Okay, so now that's all well and good. We're turning the entire front of the terminal into an international operation for that operation, but what happens if there's a clash? Currently with the northern summer schedule, there is no clash. The aircraft arrives something like 4 hours before the next domestic departure. But if there's a delay, if there's a disrupt, we'll end up with a clash. So we had to accommodate a couple of scenarios to make sure we can operate domestically. So under this scenario, we are departing international passengers. And while we're doing that, we slightly reduce the size of the terminal if we have a domestic departure at the same time through these operable walls, and we create access to gate one. So we can then depart domestically whilst arriving internationally. Whilst departing. So we're departing internationally, we're departing domestically. So just to recap, they're all coming through. They're coming through immigration. They're coming into here. They can board from there, and we can do that simultaneously while we're departing a domestic aircraft. Now, sorry, on the arrival side, let me reset. We've got an aircraft arriving passengers. At the moment, we simply leave that door open, which is a really simple solution, and we've actually got both gates open for domestic operation in this scenario. So we can operate both arriving and departing internationals and domestic departures at the same time. So there's no conflict with the operation. So it involves a loss of some space in some areas, but it actually works quite well. And this has been accepted by the border agencies, so Customs, Immigration, Quarantine, and it's also been accepted by Virgin Australia as an acceptable operation for them.
And this is the one that needs to wait for the first OTS approval to come in?
Yeah, so
this one can be submitted.
The critical timeline in this, the most critical one, is the Office of Transport Security approval process. So we've got one waiting at the moment for the works we're doing at the moment. As soon as that's approved, we can immediately make the application for this process. And the application for them is just around the secure areas. So from their perspective, within the TSP, the Terminal Security Program or Plan, the areas are designated as international or domestic, and arriving and departing. But they're all post-screening, and so that then needs to be incorporated into the plan, and this operation needs to be explained in the plan and how we keep the airport secure.
And that is one that's actually up to 90 days for approval?
60 at the moment, but possibly could go to 90. Yeah. If we get our application in soon enough, we'll be in the 60-day approval process, which would be better. We've actually planned it around a 90-day approval process, so that's what we've put in the program. And if we get 60, fantastic. We can deliver the program sooner. At the moment, we've got this. We can deliver this by mid-March. So there's only 2 weeks leeway in that program. But it's not major, major works. And so what we've done is we've lightly touched the terminal as much as possible, still trying to get a little bit of extra capacity. So this is This across the front here is all just glass framing under eaves. And we've done that deliberately so that we can just lightly touch the terminal. Not too much work, not spend too much time on construction. Basically, we want to try and get in and out there and get this set up as quickly as possible. Okay, is there any other questions?
I was just wondering what was happening with the Virgin Lounge. They requested they wanted to have a lounge.
There's no appetite from Virgin for a lounge. I have approached them about
okay.
A lounge. They've said that at some point in time they will do a lounge, but at this point in time they're not interested.
I thought before they were interested in something to do with the airport building.
We put that discussion to one side at the moment while we resolve this.
Okay.
But we have space. We have space in that building, although we're going to demolish that building.
Yes.
So, but we'll, as part of the new terminal works, we can accommodate that space. Okay. Infrastructure. Services. So by April next year, we'll have finished the upgrade of the electrical ring main. So we're going from 1 megawatt per annum to, I think it's 5 megawatts. So now that is a substantial upgrade. Basically, with the development of the airport and the airport growth going forward, the main electrical ring main is no longer coping, and there's an upgrade program currently underway on that at the moment. That will be completed by then. Water, we're in design review now with Water Corp for the new water supply into the airport. Once again, we've actually run out of water if we were to develop too much further, so we need a new water supply to facilitate the development of the airport. And we are putting sewer in as well. So that's a reasonably expensive program. It's probably about $13 to $14 million in that program. Probably applied for federal government funding for half of that. And hopefully we'll be successful with that as well.
Does that include Kingsford Smith Business Park?
We're actually taking off Kingsford Smith Business Park.
Right.
So we're actually taking a line from the park for the water. Sewer's actually coming directly from South Hedland. That's probably the more problematic component for sewer, only because it's just a longer journey it's going to take. The water's going to travel about 4K, and sewer's something like 12 kilometres, I think, or 9 kilometres. I think 9 kilometres.
Does the project tap into water reuse, the new Class A water that they're going to be using? Whether that's at Kingsford as well?
I just think it's just tapping into a pot of water.
Pot of water, yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. That, just to clarify on that, I don't think that water is available for a few years still.
Okay.
But yes, when that will be part of the strategy as well.
So, and just to recap on the general aviation apron expansion, to balance the budget and ensure we're not overspending on our capital programs, this expansion operation is under review because we are reallocating some of the funding from this to pay for the terminal expansion fund for the international services.
So, okay, if we're going to be reallocating, what effects is it going to have on that scope under preview?
That's why it's under review, because we're going to have a reduced scope. So we're still going to expand the apron, we're just reducing the scope. So that's under review to determine an appropriate design at the moment. And there is scope to reconsider that in the next financial period. But it's just in this period, because we're taking some money out of that capital program to fund the capital program for the terminal. Okay, do any other questions?
No, keep in mind.
Okay, interim improvements. Terminal secure area. I still have the date in there, because when I wrote this, that was going to be the date. It is complete, essentially. We're just waiting for that approval so that we can then cross over. So it says 17 December there now as the next target date. As I said, if not, then that would be escalated to Canberra. But I'm actually looking at that next week to do that. In terms of the screening equipment, we've got the one lane operating, and we've got the old equipment still sitting in the other lane. We've got new equipment arriving in February, so we can actually go to dual lane operation during peak periods. So we've got a clever little configuration that will do that. And we've delivered that project under budget, but it was all part of the PAG Group's initiative. So that's actually a good outcome, that one. Terminal repainting is currently underway at the moment. Internal repainting is mostly completed, and then we'll move towards the external repainting. We've got a public art EOI out at the moment. Archipelago is the group that's running that for us. They're actually Karratha based. We had a local representative here, but she moved back to Perth, so we had to restart the program. But having said that, that's back underway again, and we're looking at a March-April completion date to actually have the whole front of the terminal with a big mural across the front, just to funky it up a little bit. And that'll include shade sails, which will go across the front as well, and shade structures in the verge area as well. And they're looking at being installed early next year. And then there's the verge works, landscaping, structures, paths, the biplane. I shouldn't call it a biplane. It's actually a single-winged aircraft, but it's the Kingsford Smith model aircraft. When I say model, it's quite large.
But that will go within its own structure, and with the plaque, they'll actually talk about Sir Charles Kingsford Smith, and that will be as part of the verge across the front as well. And we're looking at getting that completed early next year, and then we have to establish a bin compound, because we want to get rid of all of those wheelie bins and have a proper bin compound for the collection of rubbish. Handrails across the front for passenger safety, so we'll actually channel passengers to three key intersection points across, and then a second exit lane into the car park, and a roundabout. I don't know if you know where the Goulding intersection is, but it's between where you move from the car parking area to the rental car area to where the residential area is, and we're creating a roundabout in there as well. So this will just all improve passenger, traffic flow in that area. So that's going to be completed by mid next year.
Just a question, please, if I may, regarding the design brief for the public art. Did the committee get circulated that brief? Is it possible for the committee to...
Yes, I'm happy to circulate the brief. Yep.
Oh, I'm interested if anyone else is. If not...
Yeah. That's no problem at all.
And the expression of interest is closing in December?
Yep.
Okay, so if we could get that brief...
No problem.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions?
With the verge paths and things like that, does that include along the Royal Flying Doctor area as well, where a path was supposed to be put in by the first week of February this year and it hasn't happened?
Yeah, not part of my program, but I am looking at the front, right across the front of the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was supposed to be done as a maintenance item through the
still waiting
operations.
Yeah.
But we'll take it on notice, only because it just didn't form part of what I was doing, but I'll take it up with the airport manager, because I do recall that item being mentioned.
They were going to actually cut in a pathway width so that it would be people can get out of their cars and walk along.
Oh, yeah, I'll ask
okay.
Russell.
Thank you.
Russell, what happened?
Yeah, that'd be good, because I think Russell will know all about that.
Yeah, it was in Russell's program.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay. Other projects? Terminal Christmas decorations, that came up earlier. Always the good news stuff for last, so to speak. Christmas decorations ordered and arriving this week. Anna's not there, I was going to say thanks, Anna, for that. Terminal tenants invited to participate in the Christmas comp, and it's funny, as soon as they were invited, Christmas decorations went up on the day they were going to paint that area, and they had to come back down again, but they've gone back up. a little bit of a coordination issue, but nothing too disruptive. And the airport conditions of use document, now this is a document that traditionally airports publish as a public document, and its intention is it takes the place of any formal airline pricing legal agreement or service level agreement. The idea of it is that it covers any itinerant users or users that just haven't signed an agreement with the airport, rather like a car park's conditions of use, but it's a conditions of use that covers things like collection of debt, parking of aircraft, operation of aircraft on the movement surfaces, and insurance requirements, staffing requirements in terms of ASICs and the like, and all of these sorts of operational and maintenance, but not maintenance, operational matters, administration matters, I think, that you would normally cover. So that's a legal document that's now in place. That's actually published on the airport's website under corporate, and with every invoice that goes out, there is actually a link and a statement that the conditions of use are there in the public document and publicly available. That has been distributed to all of the RPT, regular public transport operators, which is your Qantas, your Virgin, the Air North. It's been distributed to charter operators and to all terminal tenants. It was also distributed early last week or early this week. So that's now all being completed and is in place. Thank you. That is me.
Right. Questions? Around the table, Jan?
Landscape design concept is on your last section there, so that's on our page here.
Yes. And the only reason it's not on my section there was because, I just didn't quite finish it. I wanted to actually show you
the landscape design. So it's under review. It just didn't get completed in time.
Can that be circulated when she's finished?
She's done it.
Before the next meeting? Cool. Anything else, Jen?
No, that's it.
Lorraine?
I'm just wondering if we're going to get any more information on that now that solar farm has been changed before it comes to council, because I thought that it'd be nice if we had a bit more of a discussion about that now that the actual high process has changed again and we haven't been let know yet.
Sure. I think that is definitely coming to the December meeting.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we could have something before.
Yeah, the reports will be available in the next week. Is that right, Brent?
Yes, I think Bride's working very hard to complete those reports. There's a number of things she needs to do in terms of independent reviews, Ever.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at Grace. I think there's been about half a dozen emails that have gone from Bride to our governance team. My understanding is that the report's going to be finalised a day or two before the actual council meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, towards the end of next week.
Yeah. So what we can possibly do leading up to that, councillors might possibly have a concept forum where we might teleconference in and give an update in terms of where the project used to be at, where the project is, and at least it gives councillors a bit of an update or a summary in terms of leading up to the December council meeting.
Okay, so is Bri able to do that for the concept briefing on next Wednesday?
No, there's no
concert
briefing next
Wednesday.
That's because it's been cancelled.
Yeah.
There's only
2 electable
members available.
Oh. Well, it's no use having a concert briefing.
I'm just
thinking. It's going to be hard yard. I mean, I guess what would be the best way to do that? Councillor Butson, what your intention is to just have a review of it prior to
and just understand parts that have been changed and, you know, what it's going to cost us now, because it was... Last time she did it, it was actually a 50-50 thing, and now it's actually changed. So,
well, trying to preempt it in the absence of a formal briefing session with elected members and with committee members, it might be something that Brian can do a summary paper that can be circulated to all relevant members.
Yeah.
And that can be provide an update in terms of where we are going to go.
Cool. You're comfortable with that? Just as an on-fly on that, most of the changes occurred because ARENA has changed their mind.
Yes.
It was that they have scaled down the project, and from wanting to be part of the JV process, they've now redacted on that. So then we've had to turn around and make some appropriate decisions or lose the funding.
Yes.
I don't think that was of value to anybody.
Yep.
So that's
what I just want to know.
Yeah, so if Bri can circulate a summary paper by end of next week, that'll give you enough time. Mm-hmm. Is that comfortable with that?
Yeah, we'll try it sooner, but yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Is that all?
Yes.
Right? Cool. Jace, anything that you'd like to?
Not at the stage,
no. Right?
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll make a comment that that airport conditions of use document is a really valuable document, and it's something that I'd like to congratulate Brett and his team on delivering, because that now gives our business unit, the airport, protection to a lot of other, you know, it's a code of conduct for all persons who operate and use our facility, and that's been a really good achievement that we now have that. It certainly gives us protection and it mitigates a lot of risk for the airport. So well done, Brett. I think that's a great achievement. Okay. Thanks, Brett, for your presentation. Let's move on to reports of officers. But prior to me doing that, I've got to read a disclaimer. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Cool. Councillor Melville, you're more than welcome to join us at the table if you like. You are able to, so you don't need to sit in the stalls. By all means, join us. Okay, item 11. 11.1, Community Development Services. There are no reports. 11.2 and 11.3, the same applies for Works and Services and Corporate Services. So we'll move on to page 13. And 11.4, the Office of CEO. 11.4.1, Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update for October and November 2014, with the Office's recommendation listed below, that the Airport Committee note the Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update for the months of October and November 2014. All we need is a simple majority vote here. Are there any points of clarification?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The budget allocations, which have been updated to reflect revised 2014-15 allocations from the 2014-15 budget, are they all included on our paper here? Or is it we need to add what Brett said earlier?
Sure, I might send that through to the Acting Director of Corporate Services.
Through the Chair, I'll refer that straight on to the Program Director.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. No, the budget allocations here are historical budgets, but they reflect these aren't based on financial year budgets. These are based on what is currently allocated to those projects. So the budgets will look different to the financial year budgets simply because they're meant to reflect what's actually been approved by Council on for these particular projects and what those actual budgets are. I hope that goes through the Chair, I hope that makes sense.
So if I could clarify that, it means that all of these projects listed here have been allocated a budgeted amount. So they are budgeted, and within the budget program, they are budgeted to certain financial years. So this doesn't show you what years they are attributed to, but it does identify that each of those projects are fully budgeted for.
And if I can explain through the Chair, the reason we did that was because as we went from financial year to financial year, the budgets changed and didn't reflect what was originally approved. So we've kept it deliberately as the approved budget amount, so that people can actually see what's being spent on each project in total.
So just also on that point, Councillor Gillingham, there is another program of works that actually does detail which year the expenditure occurs in which financial year. So that's probably the one that you've got. This is not it that's in front of you, but there is another one that you do have that does show which year these expenditures occur in.
Okay. Probably through the Chair, would have been probably a good idea to have had that maybe attached to this, especially perhaps behind you, committee members who have seen that as well.
Certainly happy to take that on notice, and perhaps the Director of Airport Redevelopment can make that available again to all of our new members, and certainly
that's very straightforward through the Chair. It's just a matter of including the current budget for the CapEx component.
Sure. Is that all, Jane?
Yes, thank you.
Lorraine?
No.
Jason?
Nope.
Brad, sorry, I'm looking at you and you're nothing else. I do have just a request, probably following on from Councillor Gillingham's earlier question. If I could just clarify on the two projects starting at the Terminal Precinct Interim Improvements and the Transport and Logistics Subdivision, if I could just get asked if these timelines could actually be updated to reflect, because half of these say end of November and we know that is not the case, so if we could just update the expected completed time frame section to reflect what is more accurate.
Yep.
Cool. Thank you very much. So any other points of clarification? Right then, I just need somebody to move and accept that report. Thank you, Flo. Thank you, Brad. Those against? Let the vote reflect 6-0. Okay. There's not too much more left of the agenda, so item 12, late items as permitted by presiding member, there are nil. Item 13, motions of which previous notice has been given, there are nil again. And item 14, confidential items, so again nil. We move on to applications for leave of absence for the next Airport Committee meeting, which is currently scheduled for Wednesday, the 4th of February 2015. Do I have any applications for leave of absence for the next Airport meeting? Councillor Gillingham.
I possibly may be absent through the Chair. only because I have been called for jury duty. So at this point in time, I may or may not be here, but I'm just waiting.
We'll highlight it.
Could you highlight that, please? Thank you.
Cool. So we might just note Councillor Gillingham. Any others around the table? Okay, I just need somebody to move that they accept the possible absence of Councillor Gillingham. Thank you, Lorraine, and thank you, Jan. Those against, reflect 6-0. Thank you. All right, item 16. Now, for the new committee members, there is an ability for you, if you are going to be out of town, to attend by telephone or other video conference link-ups, but you do have to advise at the previous meeting and apply for that attendance by telephone or instantaneous communications. Are there any around the table that will require that for the February meeting? Cool, no worries, all done. Item 17, closure then we are. Right, I guess this will be the last meeting of our airport committee meeting, so I'd like to thank all of the committee members and staff for their time and contribution to the airport committee and the meetings over the past year. I wish you all well for Christmas, and I hope you and your families have a really happy and safe and Merry New Year. I look forward to seeing you all in February 2015. Okay, the date of the next, 17.1, date of the next meeting, as I indicated earlier, is Wednesday the 4th of February 2015 at 12:30 p.m. with the public agenda briefing commencing at 12:15. 17.2, there being no further business, I declare the meeting shut at 1:40 3 p.m.